Today we talk about the recruitment. Dylan Raiola. Nick Saban heads to game day. Fox and ESPN are bundling together on streaming service. The Super Bowl is coming. And a very special Dairy Queen in Texas.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I don't want to see it. I just don't want to see it. I want to see automatic bids. I want to see as much stability as we head into an era of who the hell knows what is coming.
Russ Gellinger.
What's the most fascinating to me is we've got Nick Saban on ESPN College Game Day. And we'll have Urban Meyer on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff.
And SI's Pat 40.
I stick up for those who need sticking up for. The Olympic sports, the group of five, the mid-majors who don't get NCAA tournament bids.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And got a little kerfuffle going on here.
Dude.
It's February. We need kerfuffles. This is when they need to put signing day, so we have stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. But in lieu of that, well, let's talk about Kirk Herbstreit, allegedly called Dylan Raiola's dad, Dominic. Jeez, Dominic. Sorry. To encourage the QB to flip from Georgia to Nebraska. Now, this is one of the big recruiting coups of December. Raiola was once the number one rated quarterback in the country. He committed to Ohio State. Then he was going to Georgia. And then, you know, Nebraska, where Dominic was an All-American and his uncle was on the staff, was always kind of the sentimental favorite or whatever. Would have been a huge get for Matt Rhule. He wasn't getting him. Obviously, signs of the Bulldogs, moves from Phoenix to Georgia to play high school ball in Georgia. And then there in December, word gets out. He might consider still going to Nebraska. He flips. Big get for Nebraska. Now, I think he's been downgraded to like the third best quarterback or the second. I don't know. Whatever. Highly touted prospect that both Ohio State and Georgia wanted and everybody else. Anyway, Dominic Raiola did an interview with Rivals. Adam Gorney does a great job at Rivals. And in it, he states this. When Herbstreit saw the smoke about Dylan entertaining Nebraska, he called me. He said, dude, is this true? He's got to do it. His affinity for Nebraska, for a guy like that, to tell me and get behind me, I knew he needed to do it. But I wasn't going to sit here and say, you need to go change that place or be part of the change of that place. So when Kirk told me that, then he said, I've had other coaches reach out and say the place is special. Coach Matt Rhule is a special leader. Couple things here to be very clarifying. I wasn't going to sit here and say you need to change that place or be part. So he's suggesting Dominic is that he did not tell his son to flip. However, Georgia fans got very excited about this, the idea that Kirk Herbstreit was recruiting for Nebraska, which I think would be of great concern. Now, we've not yet heard from Kirk Herbstreit. It has sat out there. Paul Feinbaum, no less than a teammate on game day, was outspoken on his show today saying, if this didn't happen, he would have already put out a statement, called into the show, said he ought to put out a statement. This is Feinbaum. First of all, if it's not true, and I remember Eli Drinkwitz said something about Herbstreit on our show a couple years ago, and Herbstreit texted me within 5 seconds. Story's been out there for hours. I've yet to hear anything. He's not shy. He's pretty flippant on Twitter. Goes on. Now, Andy Staples of On Three seems this all could, by the time you hear this, there could be statements. This is our problem. We're just cutting edge here. We're breaking. I mean, we're just right on the edge of important news. Like, did a television analyst potentially helpful? I mean, come on. But like I said, it's February. So Andy Staples at On3 has said that he talked to Herb Street. He doesn't think he did it. So maybe Herb Street's denying it. Probably the truth is somewhere in the middle. I don't know. Kirk is a professional, long career. Maybe what he said was a little more reserved than what Dominic Raiola is saying. I don't know. But we have angry Georgia fans. We have happy Nebraska fans. We have a kerfuffle. We're going to talk about it. Pat, your thoughts?
Yeah, we'll see what the actual truth is. Or maybe we won't see. Maybe this will just be he said and this other guy kind of said. And
who cares?
Maybe this was misinterpreted. Yeah, but I mean, it would be pretty big deal. If I were ESPN, I would be concerned about the situation. If I were Georgia, I would be furious about the situation. If I were Greg Sankey, I would not be pleased about the situation. Kirk Herbstreit works for ESPN. ESPN has lucrative contracts with the SEC. Nebraska's in the Big Ten. The Big Ten has lucrative contracts with Fox. If your number one guy in college football is encouraging what was the number one quarterback to go from an SEC school to a Big Ten school and from, you know, quote unquote, ESPN to Fox, that's pretty significant. Again, we'll see whether it's actually true, whether it actually happened. The thing with ESPN, there are a lot of people there who try to maintain professional media standards. And then there are other people that don't care very much about them. And then there are standards that do not get applied evenly to people. And like the Kirk Herbstreits of the world can pretty much do what they want without anybody sailing in to say, now this journalistically could be unsound, Kirk. But keep in mind that on game day, he doesn't pick the games that he's analyzing on TV because of conflict of interest. This would be a bigger conflict of interest than saying, I think, you know, Auburn's going to beat Tennessee today. So it would be, we'll see where this goes, but I find it quite fascinating.
It is. Even if, like, what you're saying about ESPN Fox is right, makes it even more interesting and more juicy for all of us. But even if it wasn't that, even if it was a Georgia commit flipping to LSU or something, this is weird. This is weird for a big personality like Kirk and a guy who I think is, you know, one of the most recognizable faces and figureheads of college football to be entangling himself maybe with recruiting, especially a recruiting flip. Yeah, it doesn't... something seems wrong about it, and I would think maybe by the time that you're listening to this, somebody will have released more about this. I would hope, because it doesn't sit well, you might say.
Well, whereas this is recruiting, nothing at this point will change someone's belief that he did it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Dominic Raiola could come out and be like, no, actually I made that up. They could have phone records that show they never called, and there'd still be people who believe he did it. That's the problem with, you know, once it's out there. A couple things. I think it's so unusual. That's why I'm siding with the idea that he did not speak like this. He didn't say it. He's an experienced guy. We're all in media. We do not have the influence of Kirk Herbstreit, but I used to cover a lot of recruiting in basketball, and you had to be very careful. And you were often in very awkward positions because parents would ask, what do you think? I would get to know parents and players, and they would ask, what do you think of this guy, this coach? As any parent, you know, a parent's going in this one time, right? Yeah, one recruit. And so they're looking for any information, you know, no one was trying anything. And you had to be extremely careful. Like, you don't want to say anything because you say, oh, he's a good guy. And then they ask another, oh, he's a great guy. Oh, crap. No, I mean, they're both great. Like, you just don't want to be involved. You're just trying to get information, but you're also, like, building up a source and, you know. So you don't want to push any school. You don't want to say anything that could be taken the wrong way at all. So it's like, well, they're all great opportunities. They're all great schools. They're, you know, very challenging. My guess is that what Kirk said was much, much more in line with that. He might have said, I just think he's a smart guy who's done this for too long. Like, one of the reasons it seems so shocking is because, like, really? Like, he would call up and be like, dude, you got to go to Nebraska. Yeah. He might have said, well, yeah, if you go there, that's a big steal. Or, you look, it's a great place mm-hmm. also. I don't know. That said, I do know Dominic Raiola from the NFL, and he's a very smart guy, and he's been around the media a long time, and he's done a gazillion interviews. So this also is not some, you know, starstruck parent, doesn't really know how to do interviews. So my guess is this is not nearly as bad, but it is an interesting. It also, I mean, if this would be a bigger story, I think, or wilder for the conspiracy theorists, if it was taking someone from the Big Ten and putting them in the SEC, because there is undoubtedly a belief that ESPN is in bed with the SEC, and it's just going to be this is going to be Fox and MSNBC, like. And I just don't buy that. But maybe you guys do.
Well, I mean, they've created their own potential conflict, right? I mean, because the contracts are massive and they are aligned specifically with those conferences. And so everything is good. People are going to read into that however they might. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. But in this instance, this would run heavily counter to any conspiracy theories, because Herb Street would be going the other way and going against the company.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe the most likely thing is that Raiola is overstating what Herb Street actually said. And it was, you know, much more benign conversation than that. But, yeah, and it is also interesting that, like, Kirk hadn't necessarily come out and talked about it.
Yeah. That, because usually, as I think Feinbaum said today on his show, I mean, Kirk usually is pretty quick with those things, like Dan said earlier. I mean, he's pretty quick to address things. And the fact that he hasn't, as we're taping this around 10 p.m. Eastern, is interesting. I don't know why Raiola would overdo it. You know, like, surely he understands what kind of conflict that is for somebody so noteworthy, such a public figure in college football, that how of a look that would be. But, you know, maybe
it's
he
a mystery.
Did.
It's a mystery. Additional ESPN news. We have a lot of ESPN news today.
Yeah.
Congrats on Nick Saban. He's unemployed there for about 11 days. I know it's hard. It's hard when you're don't have a job and trying to find work.
Yeah, trying to make ends meet.
You got to sprinkle some resumes, a little zip recruiter, whatever you got to do. So congrats to Coach Saban. He has a job. He will be joining.
Nick Saban on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. You know, he is getting a job on game day. He's going to work the game day. He's work for ESPN and primarily on game day. What is his role on there? This is why I'm a little confused on the show. Like, he's got to be the primary. He's got to be a primary guy. Like, is somebody getting? Are they just making that Home Depot table bigger?
Please no. Let's not. Let's but you not can't add have more people to the table.
You can't have him just be like, oh, he just does a side bit for like 5 minutes.
No.
He's
no.
Nick Saban.
I wonder if Kirk Pat McAfee's on the way out.
Yeah. On the way out, yeah, based on Pat McAfee's comments about his own bosses at ESPN, it seemed to be that he may be no longer on the show. I mean, I don't know that, but it just based on his comments, that seemed to me that might be coming to an end. Now, the thing is if Nick Saban does replace Pat McAfee, I mean, that's like a BMW replacing a 18 wheeler. Like, it's just a weird, like, there's no similarities between those two people at all, right?
No, no, none.
Like, he's going to, if he has to pick the games, he's like, I'm not saying. McAfee's call at the SEC championship game when he did the whole Georgia song and then flipped his, you see that one when he did the whole, you know, there's nothing like a drunk Georgia fan and they're all yelling it back. And then he switches and says, I take Alabama. That was the greatest game day pick of all time.
I missed it. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Look it up. It's pretty good. He does this whole bit, and the Georgia fans are all excited. Then he says, take Alabama. Do you see it, Ross? Am I the only one?
No, but Nick Saban's not going to be doing a lot of that. Again, it's a weird.
No.
It would be a weird replacement, you know?
I don't know.
I wonder about his role and how much he'll be up there. And is his role maybe in some kind of filler replacement deal for Corso? You know, we know that he has been getting up there and has had his fair share of issues. I mean, look. You know, I think we've talked about it on the pod before. Sometimes it's when I do, I don't watch it all the time, but I watch bits and pieces of game day throughout the year. And it's hard to watch Lee sometimes. It's hard. And I wonder if Nick Saban will be filling more of that role. You know, that would make a little more sense probably.
Right. In terms of, elder statesman kind of role. Couple of things. First of all, okay, I just look just for timing purposes here. So the Herb Street thing with Raiola went on Twitter at 11:53 a.m. The only thing Kirk has tweeted since then was a pair of eyeballs at the announcement of Saban. So that's it. So he has not addressed it. And
maybe he won't.
Maybe not. But
whatever.
The eyeballs, yes. I mean, I think Saban is fascinating. I think he could be great. I think he could be terrible. I think he could love it. I think he could hate it. He is extremely impatient. He does not tolerate wasting of time. If you've ever done live TV, there's massive amounts of wasting of time. I mean, you sit around and sit around and sit around while they mic check and they lighting check and they do 19 other things. And then finally they flip the lights on you and you go and then you stop and you do commercials and you do this and you do live that. And, you know, I mean, it is a lot of asking somebody who's famously impatient to be patient. So I would like to see how that plays out. I think he'd be really good because he's so smart. And hopefully he'd be fairly honest and candid. I think he would be at this stage about what he sees from teams he likes, doesn't like, coaching moves and blunders, whatever. But you know, again, I wonder if he's going to find that TV is really as much fun or enjoyment as you might look at it from afar and say, yeah, I'd like to do that.
He's done it before a little bit, right? He's done it in bits. Of course, he's never done it every week of a season. But this has been kind of a long time coming, right? It was like the worst kept secret, right? That when Nick Saban was going to retire, that he'd end up on game day, or at least with ESPN. John Tolte of formerly of AO.com, now at 24/7 Sports, wrote a book on Saban, the leadership secrets of Nick Saban, last year, I believe. And in there, he details a meeting with Saban and John. Is it Wildhack? Formerly of ESPN, in 2013, in 2013 in the Rose Bowl to discuss a potential role with him on the show. So this was kind of a long time coming. He's obviously wanted to do this. And now what's the most fascinating to me is we've got Nick Saban on ESPN College Game Day, and we'll have Urban Meyer on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff.
Pretty good.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Urban has been good.
Yeah, Urban has been good.
Very good.
You know what they've gotten Urban to do? They does it for Big Ten Network, and then they carry it over to their Big Noon Kickoff. And you could get Saban, I think, to do the same thing brilliantly well, is to just break down plays,
X's and
defenses here. Yeah, you know, and explain it to people so that they get it.
I never get enough of that. And what I hate about TV, is those guys are in such a rush because I swear they only get like 3 minutes on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, take your time, you know, like, it's like, this is like, I really enjoy this. They have the NFL wise, they have Dan Orlovsky a lot on and, ESPN and he's just great at it, but he's like trying to get through the play like so fast. Cause it's like, we still got to talk about the Cowboys or something. you know, it's just like, hey, maybe people aren't, maybe they know better than me what people are watching. But I love that stuff, and I would take
Saban does it really well.
There isn't enough of it.
Yeah.
He does it after games with his local. He used to do it after games with his local like radio crew, and they did it, and it was it was great. I think Urban does it with Jerry, right? DiNardo. I remember Jerry talking to DiNardo about it, and I'm like, man, that's like the most entertaining thing ever. Like it's great. In DiNardo loves doing it with them. Loves breaking down that stuff. So I'm sure we'll have a whole. Hopefully, they will allot time for Nick Saban to do that in like a segment of some sort.
Yeah,
you know who's good at it for ESPN is Trevor Maddich. And I know he's not one of their like their number one focus guy, but I always like when Trevor Maddich is on the shows and he talks football. I always find him to be one of the best at explaining what's going on to me, at least because. I cover this sport, but I'm not going to pretend at all I know what's going on. Like, I'm just not.
You know, I mean
basics, but.
I do remember John Madden, actually. I interviewed him at a Super Bowl at one point, and I asked him, I said, what do you watch when you are watching a play? He said, I watch the guards. The guards tell you what's going to happen.
What's going on.
Yeah.
You know, he's a center. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you try to follow that, but there's so much that happens on the line, and your eyes start going to the ball, and that's why I loved having one lineman who can, like a Trevor Maddich or Cole Kublik or whoever, can kind of dissect some of the blocking schemes.
Yeah, I always find that I'm always game for more of that. So Saban discussing anything, Belichick discussing any, those kind of guys, Urban when he talks about different things, all really good. So hey, you know, the old morning shows are picking up. We survived the chicken sandwich wars. Now we got morning show wars. I don't know.
That's right.
Cola wars. Also of ESPN interest, perhaps, and Fox, we have this new proposed, I guess it's going to happen, unified streaming entity that will show Fox Sports, everything Fox Sports puts out, and Fox, all sports of Fox. All sports of ESPN and Warner Brothers Discovery, which owns the NBA, TNT, and those which have actually a lot. It's not just NBA, but Major League Baseball and a few other things. One streaming service, you get all three of their streaming services. It's a bundle. It reminds me of a thing called cable.
Cable. Yeah. Kind of that. Seems familiar,
which was
doesn't it?
Freaking awesome until these guys all screwed it up.
Yep.
Cable was great. I've never gotten rid of my cable. People are like, somehow I could put together some package of stuff and save like $11.99 a month or something. I like my cable, but because it's stuff's always changing. But this would be if you do not have cable, and a lot of people don't, they cut the cord and that's fine. You could get everything from Fox, ESPN, and basically TNT, TBS for. One price. Now that price is expected between $45 and $55 a month. So you would not get NBC, which is going to have a lot more college football. Mm-hmm. You don't get Peacock, and you do not get CBS which obviously is going to have Paramount, which is obviously going to have a ton. But you would get a lot of college football here, including the entire SEC and the Big Noon game every week, amongst other things, plus all the pregame shows, all of the stuff. This is where things are headed. You know, you could get rid of cable, you could get rid of YouTube TV, you could, I don't know, you could do all sorts of stuff here, but you won't have to buy all of them.
It's where things are headed, back to where they started.
Yeah, we get NBC and CBS to jump in, then we'll be all set. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've got YouTube TV, so I have to do the cost benefit analysis of you know where this is going to fit in with that, because I love the YouTube TV. It's been fantastic.
Too.
Yeah. I was watching four basketball games at once here earlier tonight before we started taping. Just a lot of good options there. So I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know like where this is going to exactly end up or what's going to be the best kind of deal to put together. But I sure don't want to be left out of having something that's going to show major college football games. So that's going to put that. That's going to be my decider.
I look at it as a like they were saying, as a win for consumers. I think it's like a win because it's the better option of bad options. I mean, I'd rather have one. My big problem with streaming is you can't change channels as easily. And I know YouTube TV, you can go watch the four. One of the thing I like about cable is I can change between all sorts of different stuff. It's fine. Streaming is fine if you're sitting down to watch one game and that's what you're watching. But I think something's going to get lost in college football. I just love those Saturday afternoons when there's games on 8, 9, 10 channels.
Yeah.
And you can just, and you know, like all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, there's a Mountain West game going down the wire here. I'll pop, like on CBS Sportsnet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you've made the joke, Pat, about like the Fansville when the, you know, they couldn't get the password into the streaming service and all caps. Like, but the ability to just not to have that buffering. Now, look, as the internet gets faster, maybe that goes away and all that. But at this point, I find it a less superior option or something lacking there. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, look, I did it. We had DirecTV, and when NFL Sunday Ticket left DirecTV, that's when I went to YouTube. So, but it's not perfect, that's for sure. I don't know whether there is one that's going to be perfect.
College football playoff. Ross, what is the latest from the meetings? What do you know?
Well, not a whole lot to report. Big surprise. They met on Monday. They're supposed to meet Monday and Tuesday, but the meetings ended Monday night. And with only one real significant decision, which was they are going to it's about the SMU Power Five revenue distribution. So they did decide to come to a compromise and recommend to the Board of Presidents that SMU get a portion of the Power Five revenue the next 2 years. So not the full Power Five, a portion of it. So that was really it. I think, you know, aside from that, you did have them start to enter a discussion about the future. And I don't think it was coincidence that it came 3 days after the announcement of the SEC and Big Ten joint venture that they talked about the future of the playoffs starting in 2026. We know there's no contract. We talked about this on Monday's pod when I was in Dallas while they were meeting. I think we taped, and there's no contract beyond 2025 for the playoff. There's no contractual agreement. And I think they want to get in place three things before there is a contractual agreement and they sign potentially with ESPN. According to ESPN, it's with ESPN, but they might not pull that trigger yet until they decide on a revenue distribution model going forward, a format going forward, in governance, CFP governance when it comes to weighted voting and things like that going forward. So they did get into, it was kind of told, it was like more of the tip of the iceberg. Their next couple meetings will be deeper into the future model, but they did get into it a little bit. I don't think there's really any big news to report except it's what you'd expect. The SEC and the Big Ten would like more money in more control when it comes to voting powers. You know, we reported it over the weekend about Greg Sankey and Tony Pacitti both expressing publicly in an interview with us on Friday that there's a little question about their involvement, inclusion in the CFP beyond 2025. If, quote, Greg Sankey says they don't get it right. And when he says it, he, of course, means revenue distribution, format, in governance. These are three big things they're going to have to, quote, get right.
I hope my man Kirk Schultz is still sitting out there like the protester in Tiananmen Square back in like 1990 with his hand up in front of the tanks.
He is as of now. Yes, he is.
Good. Stay there, Kirk. Stay there. Make them run you over.
They're going to screw this up, Pat.
I don't care.
I'm with them in cause. I really am. But like the fact that they didn't take this, they could have had this. They could have had the 12-team playoff with six spots set up.
Yep.
And also, I mean, not taking that deal a few years ago was one of the all time screw ups. Mm-hmm. The longer you wait, the worse this deal is going to get. But I do understand Washington State doing what they're doing. He is fighting.
He's using the only leverage, right, that probably Washington State will ever have. This is it.
Ever again.
At what point do you tell the Big 12, all right, here's the deal. You're taking these two and you're putting them in the league.
You get my vote for these for an inclusion. Hey.
The Big 12, you have to take it or something like – Yeah. Well, be a shame if something happened to your pretty little playoff spot, Big 12. Like, don't know.
If it comes to that, I think the Big 12, along with all the other commissioners, will just say, okay, you know, you're not going to give us your vote. We're not going to give you anything. So we're going to go 6-6 the next 2 years, and there will be a second Group of Five champion in the playoff. That's what it'll be. And then beyond 2025, then there'll be some problems for Washington State, I have a feeling.
Could be problems, though, for the Big 12 and the ACC then, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It breaks up the whole thing. You impact everybody.
That's why I get it, and I love it's a great image, right? You guys screwed us, but I still can be a pain in it. I love it, but I also want to see this sport succeed, and it's like, if you give the SEC and the Big Ten a reason to look around for too long and say, you know what, we don't need you guys, or we're not going to have automatic bids, it's just going to be at large, and it damages the ACC and the Big 12 and the Mountain West and everybody else who would get a bid, that is too big of a loss for me. We have to have as many things in place to try to create protections so that we have more than a 36 team high major football. I like, that's the thing. I get it. Today it's Washington, but this is like the hill that like West Virginia can't afford to lose on. And so that's why I'm like, come up with, you guys better figure something out quickly. Cause it, every time you delay this, that deal 3 years ago or whatever you didn't take, cause you formed an alliance that now, like the ACC formed an alliance with a league that no longer exists and another league that's now aligned with the team the league you were alliancing against.
I always say it. The alliance was the biggest failure in modern college sports history, it feels like. You know, it just disrupted so much in not for a benefit of really anybody.
Nobody benefited except the SEC, probably.
Probably.
It's actually the one that,
which is the one you were trying to give a benefit to.
And the Big Ten. And they were just mad because they took Texas and Oklahoma, which everyone was going to take. It was so dumb. But that deal would be a dream come true for you now. I don't want to see it. I just don't want to see it. I want to see automatic bids. I want to see as much stability as we head into an era of who the hell knows what is coming. Right? Nobody can really say, oh, this is what it's going to be. Want as much stability for these leagues as possible. And if that means the Big 12's got to crap Washington State and Oregon State and say, all right, hell, guys are in after all.
Maybe they can split them. Send one to the Big 12 and one to the ACC.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys.
The ACC is already going west anyway to go to Cal.
Yeah.
This has gotten absurd. Absurd.
They'll meet again in a couple weeks. And the commissioners will. And I think they'll probably dig deeper into the model. I think by that time, maybe there'll be a resolution with Kirk Schultz's proposal. That's in about 2 weeks. So you would think at that point they'll know either Is he going to hold out? Number one, I feel like there's a few options here. Number one, he holds out completely. They don't give in. We go 6-6 the next 2 years. That's option one, which, again, is probably not good for beyond 2025 for them. Option two would be they don't concede and he gives up the vote in place of some kind of compromise, which to me probably is getting the full shares of Power Five or maybe even more than they were supposed to get the next 2 years to end the contract. There's some kind of compromise there. And then option three is they don't concede anything and he also concedes his vote. So I'm thinking those are the options. Hopefully in a couple weeks at least we'll know what the result is.
Fight the power, Kirk.
Let's go to breaking
Pat,
back.
Hold on, right Dan.
After- oh, wait.
Dan. Mm-hmm. Pat. I think it was this year. If I had to do the 12-teamer this year, I think this year was a little weird, but you'd have Liberty in SMU in the playoff this year. Mm-hmm. And one of those teams would have gotten in place, I believe, of 10-2 Ole Miss.
Yep. I would have been okay with that. I would have been fine.
Liberty I love didn't Pat's play like, anybody.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right, buddy. Go Stangs.
He's a situational anarchist. That's what he is. He's totally fine with that. But if someone trims like 2 hours of pool time at some program, he's going to go crazy. Hey,
I stick up for those who need sticking up for.
Yeah.
The Olympic sports.
The little guys.
The group of five.
Oh, guys,
the mid-majors who don't get NCAA tournament bids.
You are a hero. Speaking truth to power. You're speaking.
There you go.
All right. Well. All right. Let's
comfort
go to break.
The afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
There you go.
The sixth seed, whoever the sixth seed was would have probably loved that matchup. It would have been Liberty.
Yeah.
Actually, would it have been the matchup that happened? Would it have been Liberty and Oregon? Something like that. It would have been something
it's not
similar.
Not exactly how we want this playoff to
no,
play
it's
out.
Not.
We
no,
want as many good not. Games as possible. All right. Boston College still has a job opening. Two candidates, according to Bruce Feldman, The Athletic and Fox, is Paul Chryst, the sweatshirt.
Oh.
Former Wisconsin coach in his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And I think he's an analyst at Texas right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then Bill O'Brien. Who is the offense coordinator at Ohio State, isn't obviously new on the job, but is from Boston, Patriots, obviously coached the Houston Texans, Penn State. Those are the two candidates, apparently. I don't know how you don't hire Bill O'Brien.
I would agree.
No offense to the sweatshirt. No. I love Paul Chryst and his sweatshirt, but I mean, this is the Bill O'Brien. If you can get Bill O'Brien, if Boston College can get the former Penn State coach, New England Patriots offense coordinator who has incredible name recognition in New England, not as well as everywhere else, and a Houston Texans head coach to coach Boston College.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, I would do it. Absolutely. I think that, yes, you could be falling into a really good coach at a good time who could resurrect things there, you know? And that's – he's not that he's 54 years old. So I was just looking this up here. And I mean, he was good with the Texans. You know,
he was good.
They had a lot of good years. He made some bad personnel decisions, but playoffs four times out of his six seasons, seven. He got fired early in the seventh one. I mean, that 11-5, 10-6.
He did a good job at Penn State under very difficult situations.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was post Sandusky. I mean, it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
And again, well known in New England. I mean, like he's walking in. I'm Tom Brady's coach. You know, used to be Tom Brady's coach. It's not bad. I don't know. I mean, that seems like a no brainer to me, but we will see what happens.
Yeah, he's, I felt like from the very start, he was kind of the first name. In fact, I'm a little surprised the search has gone as deep as it has.
I don't think there's a rush, you know, because these guys aren't head coaches, so
they're
doing some interviews.
So they did. They did a bunch of interviews, and they had four or five candidates down in Atlanta for interviews, and now I think it's sounds like back on campus for some final interviews. But it's felt like Bill O'Brien the whole time, and it makes a lot of sense.
All right, I'm at the Super Bowl, in case you didn't know. Super Bowl this weekend. San Francisco, Kansas City. A little game out here in Las Vegas. And one of the starting quarterbacks hails from Iowa State. Is the Ames tap water the reason Brock Purdy went from Mr. Irrelevant to Super Bowl starting quarterback? Sean, play the song. We haven't played in a while.
Yeah. It's a triumphant return. It really does.
We love it in Ames. It's beautiful in autumn, late December brings snow. Ames is a safe place, the crime rate is low. We've got great schools, the students score high. We go for number one,
and not just to get by.
Ames hides at the Bronx,
we think that's great.
Over 357 schools in the state.
If you visit here, you won't want to go home.
Join us with a hooray for the awesome Cyclones. It's ISU, the home of Hilton Magic, driving with the top down by College Creek.
Spring is mild and the flowers shine.
Let's hear a hooray for the warm summertime.
Affordable living, why go to L.A.? Number 9 best city in the U.S.A.
Pour a glass of water when you visit our town. Crack a smile.
Drink it down.
It's the cleanest around.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right. Never disappoints.
It's an eternal banger.
The shot at Los Angeles is always my favorite. It's always my favorite. Why go to LA? We're a city of 30,000. They're a city of 24 million. Apparently, in the actual vote of where you choose to live, not doing so well, but they're punching up. They're punching up. Take that, Los Angeles. Why go there? It's more affordable here. You also don't have the Pacific Ocean.
That's right.
But you got that water. So Purdy, anyone see this coming?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. As we know, Mr. Irrelevant.
He was good. No. And those were good teams, yeah. But that senior year wasn't great. And, I mean, no way.
No, it kind of seemed like it was like diminishing returns as it went along. Because when he got there as a freshman at Iowa State, he kind of splashed on the scene the same way he did in the NFL. And everybody's like, whoa, he's going to be a superstar. And then just kind of didn't really happen, which is probably just more the guys around him, I would guess. But
looks like
this happening.
Lee Harvey Oswald. Have y'all seen this going around? He was asked about it, apparently. I mean,
he was.
What is
Dan,
that?
Dan is locked and loaded on this.
All right, fire away.
I know. I'm getting sensitive. I'm sensitive in my old age. I feel bad for some of these players. Like, it is now Super Bowl Media Week. I cover a Super Bowl every year, and it is even increasing year by year. It is just, how can I get something viral on my phone? Mm-hmm. And these guys are like circus acts. It's like a circus. Like, everyone's just poking the bear, trying to get everyone. There's somebody said on the internet that Brock Purdy looked like Lee Harvey Oswald. Okay, who cares? Even if he does. A guy on the internet said, and he gets asked about it. Like, how do you respond to this?
And that's the thing. Like, you are asking what you're comparing him to, one of the most infamous figures in American history.
Right.
You know? Like,
and they're trying to get him to say something funny or awkward or blow up at you. Question is, I don't know. I can figure it out.
Maybe he didn't know.
Oh, did he know? Yeah, he knew. Come on. He had an Iowa State education. He knows who the hell. Come on. He knows who Lee Harvey Oswald is.
That wisdom-enhancing tap water.
This is a problem.
The only reason to ask
industry.
That question is to try to create, I got a viral moment. They asked, I stood there with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's the best. Travis Kelce, anybody else would have lost his mind this week. I mean, they asked him everything, almost everything about Taylor Swift. You know, why are you going to do a Vegas wedding? Who's getting a ring first? Like, just anything. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. And he is like the most jovial guy. I mean, I get it. We're living a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Right? But he's just like, he just went along with it. They asked Andy Reid about this like whack job political conspiracy that I don't even quite understand it, but the government somehow created, got Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce together and then fixed the NFL so they'd make the Super Bowl, the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl in some way so that Taylor Swift will endorse Joe Biden. I don't think I'm getting the plot right.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah.
They asked Andy Reid that.
Believable.
Oh, God.
Okay. And Andy Reid's like, I don't really, you know, that's not, he just, he laughed because he's good.
Imagine
but like,
what's going on in Andy Reid's head when he's asked that question.
So maybe it's because of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we've been here four of the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
It's not like it came out of nowhere.
Have you seen
like, maybe if it was like, wait a minute, the Lions are suddenly good. This must be government intervention, right? They ask about, and some of the guys are comfortable and they're handling it well. But it is like we're just – the media is just teeing off on these dudes. Like, it's just like, how can I – what can I get? And what are you getting? A TikTok that'll go viral. And it's like these guys are – they're football players. And I get they make money. And it's, but, like, there shouldn't be the punchline, you know?
No. Right.
Pat, have I lost it? Have I lost my marbles?
Well, it is cute to hearing you be so sensitive to their plight. But no, I guess I do feel bad for them too. I feel bad for the media. This is what quote unquote we are doing. You know, it's embarrassing. It's demeaning. It's stupid. And the thing that used to be the case, I don't know if it still is, but back when I covered Super Bowls, like the interviews were awesome. You got so much access. You could actually get some really good information, some big back and forth.
You still can.
Okay. That's,
and
that
most of it is
question.
That. There's a lot of that. And I'm not somebody, like I wrote about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce because it's a story. I'm not like, oh, let's just talk about, you know, run blocking schemes here. None of that. But I just think some of it is like a trick. They're trying to just trick the guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part where I'm like,
well, it's going viral. It's social media. And it's unfortunate because it's kind of filtered throughout our entire industry. I mean, we see it in college as well. That everybody is trying to get a clip that will go viral, and instead of putting together a great story or unearthing some new news or something, it's some weird clip, whether it's a quirky answer or whatever. And honestly, like, you know, it's probably really has started and ramped up, you know, 6 to 8, 10 years ago with social media. And it does feel like it's at its absolute max. I mean, at the college football media day this year, there was a lot of that, that went down as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they're getting poked and all that. I don't know. Who else in this game do you want to talk about? You have any memories of any of these guys that, I mean, obviously Mahomes was this incredible talent. We've talked about him at these Super Bowls before. But, you know, no one really saw, I don't think any of us thought he'd become who he became.
No.
Kelce, you didn't think. Christian McCaffrey, man, how good was he at Stanford?
Oh,
he was really good.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, Mahomes,
that one we saw coming.
Mahomes is crazy. Yes. I only covered one Mahomes games, and it was the Houston Bowl, and LSU played him in the Houston Bowl. It was like, I don't remember the year, like 14 or 15 or something, and they just completely shut him down. And LSU won the game like 50, scored the most points ever in like the Les Miles era, which isn't saying much, but there was like 55-30 and kind of shut him down. And I don't think anybody expected him to do what he's done. It's really been incredible to watch.
Yeah. And that's, yes, McCaffrey, you certainly saw coming. The guys, you know what, who have driven me crazy as a Bronco fan, the friggin' Chiefs just have a way of getting guys that you watch in college and you know they're good players, and yet they fall to the end of the first round, they fall to the end of the second round, and there the Chiefs can get them. Creed Humphrey, you know, all-pro center, it's like he's available at like number 60. Who else? George Karloftis, great defensive end. He was available at the very end of the first round.
Out of Purdue, yeah. That was, I remember being like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, they're getting those guys. And then who's the guy?
Nick Bolton. Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, he was earlier, but yeah.
Right. Nick Bolton, linebacker from Missouri, late second, I think. And then, of course, Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. It's like, and, you know, you saw Isaiah Pacheco at Rutgers. He was a good running back. He ran hard. He was on bad teams. They couldn't throw, so everybody just ganged up on the run. But get him on a team that could, with offensive balance and blocking, and look out.
Yeah. Yeah, 22. They get Trent McDuffie and then Karloftis. You know, I have this thing about the NFL draft. I think it's like over – they've tried to make sense of what's – they've overcomplicated the analysis of the NFL draft.
Yes.
It's not really a thing that quite can be analytically done. And so, like, a lot of the criticism of, like, the Detroit Lions last three drafts is that they're like, well, you can't pick this guy at that position,
right,
at that spot, or you can't do this. And at, and Brad Holmes of the Lions, it's like, I keep getting good players. Yeah. Who the hell cares?
Yeah. No,
you don't sit back and go, well, I could have got Sam Laporta a couple years later. I could have gotten Travis Kelce at a different time. Like, no, you got Travis Kelce. Don't worry about it.
Right.
And if you pick good players, you win. Baltimore is the other one that always does this.
Oh, Baltimore is incredible with that. Incredible.
Right? You're just like, they got Kyle Hamilton. Like, well, you can't take a safety at that spot. Well, you can if it's Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah, that's always driven me crazy. Well, you don't need an inside linebacker in the second round.
Right.
Yeah, Nick Bolton, pretty damn good.
Yeah, and so you're right. The Chiefs are really good at finding guys. You don't trade up to get – you already had Alex Smith. You don't trade up to get Patrick Mahomes, except you just got the best player in the league for the next – you know, for a 10-year stretch. And, yeah, those teams –
they got Trey Smith in the sixth round.
Did they really?
Their right guard, Trey Smith, the Pro Bowler, 226th overall.
Yeah, look at that.
Like, they're unbelievable.
That one, Noah Gray, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Creed Humphrey.
Creed Humphrey is the like one of the top two centers or three centers in the league, and they got him 60th or something?
63rd. 21 draft. They had no first rounder, and they ended up with Bolton, Humphrey, Gray, and Smith.
There you go.
Each one of them 50 games. Well, Bolton's done 41. Yeah. I mean, and look at, 2020, everybody played. Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, yeah.
Jr. You know, I mean, like, McCole Hart. Yeah. They have just stuck the drafts.
Yep.
Tough break for Bronco fan.
Yeah. Watching it every year.
It's gonna be a good game. I'm very intrigued on the game. We need a little more scrap us media. We need a little more trash talking, less Lee Harvey Oswald.
You've been staying away from the tables, Dan.
I have been.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Wagered
a wagered a penny yet. We'll see. Might not.
4 days to go.
What about the sphere?
Climb the sphere today.
That was not you on the sphere?
No. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. There was some. The group text accused me of climbing the sphere. I was hard at work. I'm sorry. I'm just focused, man. I'm focused.
Look at that.
It's the biggest game of the year. You got to come in focused.
So, folks, look, you got two. We got Dan's Luxor hotel room in the background here. He's got two beds.
Double sleep. I can sleep twice.
See?
There you go.
You get my rest. Two different
half
places.
Half the night in one bed, then you go to the other one half the night. See if it improves your mental outlook.
Absolutely. My mental outlook needs improvement. So let's do it. All right. Let's get to one people's court here. Topic that's kind of been popping up on us. Secret places to deal drugs.
Oh.
Unexpected drug dealing.
Wow.
After the BW3s, was that in Ohio? I don't remember where that was. Where they would they would not trade fried pickles for Oxy.
or maybe even
he wouldn't
weed?
Offer the weed, nothing. They wouldn't do it.
They would not do it.
Bad news.
Well, there's a Texas Dairy Queen that wishes they had employees that loyal.
Uh-oh. Got some trading going on.
Clifton, Texas, which sounds like the kind of town where the Dairy Queen's like the best. I don't know where Clifton is.
I'm looking it up. I'm on the case.
Like DQs in Texas are big time.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're big. A group of Texas Dairy Queen employees were arrested after officers accused them of running a methamphetamine ring from a store in the town of Clifton. They received a tip. Several employees of the local Dairy Queen were selling meth on their jobs. It's about 35 miles north of Waco. Yeah, that's there's okay, nothing yeah. 35 miles. Yeah. They started an investigation, deeming it, of course, Operation Blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
The cops are having a they set up undercover buys at the Dairy Queen on numerous occasions. They obtained a search warrant. They went in and busted five people. Two were in possession of methamphetamines. Dairy Queen announced that the accused are no longer working at the Dairy Queen.
Oh, I bet.
That's how do you get fired? It's a tight labor market out there. They don't want to fire these guys. Got to be a great undercover job.
Oh,
you're buying meth, but you're also got it's probably like a little trick to it too, where you got to get like a blizzard.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then the officer gets a blizzard and he's doing his job, right?
Exactly. Free blizzard.
What job can you do that at? That's right.
You're, maybe you're expensing your blizzards every day. You're going in every day. Yeah.
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 You think they whipped up any meth blizzards?
Probably.
Meth swirl
probably.
In there?
You could get peanut buster parfait with a little sprinkling of meth over
right.
the top.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Do you any leniency because they were just people go to Dairy Queen looking for a positive experience. It's fun to go to Dairy Queen, right? Let's go get some ice cream on a hot day.
Yeah.
Aren't they isn't this just an extension of that?
So anyway, Clifton is on Route 6, like out in the middle of nowhere from Waco. It's northwest, so it's not even like on that I-35 corridor. It's out there. Like by Womack and Cranfield's Gap.
Oh, that helps.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, Pat, thanks.
Yeah,
just a couple of Cranfield's Gap.
Yeah. You're out there. You are in nowhere.
Need some meth, apparently, way out
people
there.
Were coming all over to get to this DQ.
That's right.
So here's what I think, though. Yeah, like the city's population, its last 2010 census was 3,442. You might have to have some leniency if you're going to keep the Dairy Queen open. You can't start just firing the whole staff. You got to need somebody to run the blizzard machine, and turn them upside down, show people, see, they don't drip. Somebody's got to run the drive-through, the cashier. You got people that's got to do the chicken fingers and all that other stuff they make there. You know, it's not just ice cream. So high demand. It's a demanding job. And if those guys were doing their job decently while they were selling meth, I think you might have to figure out a way to keep them.
What else do they have there? I don't know that I've ever had anything but a blizzard at Dairy Queen. Literally.
Oh, they got food.
They got real food.
I mean, figured like they had food. I'm burgers. Just, like, what is this, a burger place? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Burgers, dogs. They got, I think, again, chicken I don't think strips I've, or whatever.
I'm not eating food out of there either. I don't think I ever have. Yeah, looks they got chicken basket.
Oh, okay.
They got the burgers and sandwiches. Okay. Looks like pretzel sticks.
Yeah.
Different stuff here, but obviously the blizzard.
Yeah,
did you say the peanut parfait?
Oh yeah, the peanut buster parfait. It's beautiful.
Peanut buster.
Is there a code? That's what I want to know. We're not getting enough from the Clifton police. Clifton police, thank you for your service. We back the blue here. Great job. Great job on getting this done. We don't need meth getting dealt out of the DQ. But can you give us a little more? Like, did you have to pull up and be like, I want the peanut butter parfait, but hold the peanut butter. Like, was there a code? Was there something?
Yeah.
We need more details out of you guys.
Need the extra whipped cream, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Magic words.
All right. All right. That's enough. That's enough.
Don't do meth.
Don't do meth.
Yeah.
It's the one thing in America everyone agrees on.
Meth is also called ice, apparently. Oh. So they could that could be involved in the word.
Sean went through for us.
There we go.
Sean with the apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Allegedly. Good try. Apparently. Good one, Sean. Yeah.
We got one streetwise guy on this podcast.
That's right.
Sean. I need a cup of ice, please, with my order.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Man, the meth heads around here really love the DQ. What's up? That might have been your hint.
Yeah.
All right, keep listening, subscribe, and we appreciate all of you. We will talk to you later.